Welcome to the Alpha Male Coach Podcast, the only podcast that teaches men the cognitive mastery and alpha mindset that it takes to become an influential and irresistible man of confidence. Here's your host, certified life coach and international man of mystery, Kevin Ayo.
What's up, my brothers? Welcome back to the Alpha Male Coach Podcast. I am your host, Kevin Ayo, and this episode is a special episode where I'm going to introduce to you a very special guest, one of our coaches at the Academy for Consciousness Expansion, Brent Smith. So enjoy this episode and elevate your alpha. What's up, brother? We'll try this again.
What's up, man? How are you?
Amazing. Amazing. Okay. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay. Right. We had a little sound issue before. Now it's good. So we're doing an episode here with Brent Smith, our coach at the Academy, or the coach at the Academy, I should say. Next to myself, he's the guy. He works with all of the students in office hours. He does webinars. He does group coaching calls. So since you guys are going to meet him in the Academy, I thought this would be a good time for him to not just introduce himself and talk a little bit about his journey in the Academy, but also sort of his perspectives, right? Like what's going on in his reality, the way he sees the world, so that when you guys are introduced to him, because I know you guys know me from the podcast, I want you guys to get to know him. So Brent, please tell us about yourself and as much as you think people should know in 5 minutes. I know I'm kind of blocking you in on the time frame here.
Sure.
So, brother, please. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And you might have to cut me off or make us 5 minutes. As you know, that's a hard task for me. But yeah, my name is Brent Smith. I am a coach at the Academy. I've been a member of the Academy for 4 years. Was doing one-on-one coaching with Kevin for 3 years. I did a coaching certification program for a year. And then I've probably been teaching at the Academy, I'd say close to a year, maybe 10 months to a year, somewhere in that range. And I guess, who am I? That's always a tough question to answer. We were joking about that before, but I guess I would say I'm a seeker of the truth and a lifelong learner. And what does that mean? I guess I'm, you know, in the capacity that brothers might know me at the Academy, I would work as a coach, as a guide, as someone who can help them better understand, you know, themselves and their truth. Because I said, I'm a seeker of the truth. My truth might be different than Kevin's truth versus our other brother's truth or anyone who's listening's truth. But I guess I'm at this point in my life, who I am is someone who I'm kind of experimenting and kind of trying to figure out what it is that's my truth. And I guess what I mean by that is like the background, and I don't know how far we are into the 5 minute. You know, I'm a financial planner as well. And, you know, I grew up thinking that I wanted to be really successful and make a lot of money and a high income and a nice suit and a certain lifestyle was success in my mind. And that's what would make me happy. And as I've, you know, been this seeker of the truth, trying to, you know, spending time to better understand myself and, you know, what fills me up, what creates a high vibration within me versus, you know, what maybe isn't as fulfilling to me, you know, I've been on this journey of kind of trial and error. Or, hey, this is something that's resonating with me. I'm going to dive deeper into this, spend time here, run these ideas by Kevin or the brothers in the Academy or things like that. So I guess, you know, on the surface, I was a, you know, financial planner who's building a financial planning practice, which I still am doing. But at a deeper level, I'm someone who's trying to experience peace and love and joy and trust in myself, in the higher power in God, the universe, whatever it is that you believe, the source. And also in that time of learning and uncovering knowledge, hopefully creating tools or gathering information that can be shared with others to, you know, assist them along their journey. That's who I am.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. It's funny because you kind of come back to the time, like if I hit the 5 minutes yet or this back and forth, and it's the time doesn't matter really. Like the download, the moving of the energy, like even the moving around from, you know, I'm a truth seeker, I'm a coach, I'm a financial planner, and you didn't touch on certain things, which I find fascinating, certain things that may not have been coming up for you, but even just part of your journey in the academy and what you've been through with the years of our relationship together.
Yes.
But it's so fascinating, brother, because it is like, it's, look, anybody that can answer the question, and this is what's fun, and this is really what the academy is about. Anybody that can answer the question of who am I with absolute certainty is completely delusional. Right? This is who I am. And I'm serious about it. Like, well, yes, I can see you're very, very serious about it. But we all know you're pretending to be this thing, and that it can change any time, and it will change. But yeah, I mean, I love your introduction, brother. Also, what hobbies? What do you like to do? What do you like to do when you're not financially planning? What do you like to do when you're not guiding students spiritually, energetically?
Yeah, I, as you probably know, and brothers, I'm an avid tennis player. I got into it during COVID and have fallen in love with the game. So love playing tennis, love playing platform tennis, which is an outdoor tennis game. Boyfriend, I'm in a relationship with Gemma and, you know, very much enjoying that. And, you know, that's been so a boyfriend, you know, hopefully one day a husband and father. Hobbies, going to the gym, playing basketball. I referee basketball as well. At the high school level right now. This year, I'll be going to some camps to try and break into college officiating as well. Other hobbies, reading, deep discussions, traveling. Yeah, I'd say those are what's coming to mind now.
Amazing. Yeah. And speaking of traveling, how many of the other guys in the academy have you met? I want to say met, but like met up with in person.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. You, Sean, Bob, Raphael, Brian, JD, Sam, probably 7 or 8 brothers all around the world, all around the U.S.
All around the world, all around.
Right now. And I have plans to, I go down to amazing. Texas, have plans of seeing some brothers down there, and next trip to either, you know, Arizona or California. Yeah, I've met a few of them.
It's a beautiful network, isn't it? The brotherhood.
It's amazing.
And just very quickly, brother, do you want to say anything about your energy mechanics? Do you want to say anything about, I mean, just the basics, emotional manifester, 5-1 profile. Do you want to say anything about channels, or do you want to go into that at all when you introduce yourself?
No, maybe not at a super deep level, but at a very surface level. Like I had said in the intro that I'm someone who's like an experimenter experimenting. One of, you know, being an emotional manifester for my human design type comes to mind because, and I don't know for the brothers, some of the brothers listening may understand human design, others might not. But so my human design type is a manifester. We all have a different design type based on our date of birth, time of birth, location of birth. And mine is a manifester, and each type has a different strategy. It's almost like a strategy to, you know, a philosophy would be, it's a strategy to live in alignment with source, with the universe, with the higher power. So for me, being a manifester, informing and initiating are the strategies. So what that means for me is that, like, there would be times where I wouldn't speak openly and honestly about something that's either bothering me or, you know, I wouldn't want to bring someone up out of, you know, concern of how someone might view me for bringing that up or how it might be received by them. So there would be times where I want to say something, but I would hold it or internalize it, and it would actually create a lot of unrest within me. And there's like a, you know, each human design type has a different theme. So there's like a theme that's kind of like a gauge of if we're in alignment. For a manifestor, that theme would be peace. So if you are a manifestor design experiencing peace, that's a pretty good way I can check in with myself. Hey, you know, am I communicating openly and honestly? Am I doing what I want to do in this moment? And if not, there's a not self theme. Mine would be anger, and anger can be perceived in different ways. I never really looked at myself as like a, you know, super angry person, but you know, there's times where I would be, you know, internalize something and be short, or that could build up and eventually lead to me like finding myself in a situation. I'm like, why am I yelling about this? Like, this really isn't a big deal. But so getting back to human design, what that had taught me and that work in the academy has taught me is that, like, so the manifestor strategies to living a life of alignment are informing, which comes with speaking openly and honestly about, hey, this is what I want. It's taught me to use my voice. And then additionally, initiate, which is if I feel an urge to do something or called to do something, I can do that and honor myself. And it might, you know, I had thoughts that like, hey, you know, I was supposed to have plans with this person or go to lunch with this person or do this for this person or get this task done. But in regards to initiating, like if I feel an urge to be called to do something different, it's been experimenting with speaking openly and honestly, even if it's uncomfortable, and then also doing things that I feel are honoring myself in the moment, even if it means flaking on someone else or potentially, you know, for lack of other terms, letting someone else down.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Manifestors, you know, they're 1 in 10, right? So pretty rare stuff. And what it means and all that is definitely work we do in the academy and how to work with that energy. But informing and being at peace, these are powerful things. And being a 5-1 profile as well is great for guiding. It's great for guiding. Now, yeah, so I'm a 5-1 as well, but you know, your journey in the academy, you mentioned it a little bit on this podcast episode, but we talked about it a lot on the episode back in 2022. It was January 2022. We talked a lot about your journey. Now that it's a couple years later, I want to ask you a different question about the academy before we kind of get into maybe some questions about your own perspective of the world, like kind of really get into some deep box, some deep stuff that I know you and the audience love, but also how they can kind of see your perspective by getting kind of picking the brain of Brent. And that is, you know, journey aside, now that you're taking another role, having seen the perspective of the student and now seeing the perspective of the guide, what would you say the purpose of the academy is? Like, what is it for? What is it for? And what people would benefit the most from? And I know that all people benefit from it, brother, because I know that it's a spiritual journey. It's a journey of remembering. But again, like, what's the purpose? What's it really for? What's the purpose of the, who are the ones that, maybe not who, but yeah, I'll let you download,
I do have thoughts on that. So I would say, like, if I had to answer it in 5 words or less, it would be to raise conscious awareness, to raise awareness. What does that mean? Because I would say there's multiple purposes, or maybe, I don't know if it would be multiple purposes or multiple, I don't want to use the term benefits, but like byproducts of engaging or participating in the academy. So like raising conscious awareness, but what does that mean? For me, that meant learning to trust, like learning to truly trust that things are okay, like everything's okay, even though, and also like to better understand. And we were joking about this before, but like, I think part of it is to better understand, like, and how do we, to better understand like our human experience, like who we are, what we are, what's, you know, true and what's not. And I'm joking because like sometimes it feels like you uncover something or learn something. And then there's like a whole nother wave of like, it's like, okay, I think this is some, you know, this is the truth, but then there's something else that like could further challenge that. So I guess I would say like the purpose of the academy is I'm going to go more surface level. I would say the purpose of the academy is to step into our power of being able to live our life, the life that we want on our terms. And like a lot of the times people don't believe that's possible because, not speaking for everyone, but largely, and this is a belief I know, but society is conditioned to, you know, you have to go to school, get an education or get a safe job, work at a company where you're going to be able to pay the bills and earn an income to buy a house and, you know, support yourself and save up so you can retire one day and be okay. And it's like, okay, yeah, I tried that out. I was, you know, I subscribed to that philosophy for a while. And then one day I'm like, okay, well, I'm making what I believe is good money. I'm saving what I believe is a good amount, you know, to retire at an age that I want. And, but I was still lacking fulfillment. I was still like, hey, I accomplished all these things that I wanted, but I'm still like, I still want to, you know, I always use the example, like if I get all of my work done and it's a Wednesday or a Thursday at 3 or 4 p.m. and it's a sunny day, I live in Albany, New York, and I want to go outside and play golf or tennis, like, why the hell can't I do that? You know, it's and if I'm working for a company where they expect me to be in an office or on call from 9 to 5, that might not be something that's possible. And it's like, okay, well, these are your terms and I want the security of a paycheck, so I'm going to agree to them and trade my time and I'll just enjoy my life, like, you know, before the hours of 9 o'clock and after the hours of 9 to 5. And that's not always the case because there's people who love their job and maybe they find fulfillment in it, but I want to love my job and find fulfillment in it and also be able to do what I want when I want. I know that I'm someone who, like, if there's a job to get done, I'm going to get it done. And I'm learning to trust that it's going to get done in divine timing. Like, that's a whole nother, you know, that's a whole nother part of it. So I guess I would say the academy is, the purpose of it is to maybe remind people how, like, to maybe dispel some, I don't know if fallacies would be the word, or, you know, to decondition, you know, and you talk about that all the time, to let go of, you know, beliefs that we might hold very strongly are truths, and our friends and spouses and parents and siblings, you know, may hold these things as truths. And they believe that, you know, us working a regular job keeps us safe. I know I keep bringing up job and profession because for me, that's where a lot of the conditioning was, and still there still is some. But I guess in regards to the academy, like, it's, the purpose is to raise conscious awareness, to step into your power, to let go of non-truths that aren't, you know, serving you or maybe blocking you from experiencing peace, you know, peace, tranquility, really the lifestyle that we want to live. But also, like, other byproducts have been to, you know, to love at a deeper level, to learn how to love and connect with others at a deeper level, to hold space for others, to judge less, to be more patient, you know, learning to let go of control. We'll always joke, like, within the academy that, you know, I'm a recovering control freak. And, you know, that side still does rear its ugly head from time to time, but that's, you know, that's part of the journey as well. It's just showing me more areas of where I can, you know, continue to clear out, not self conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it, brother. I love it. I mean, you can see here, you guys can see why we have Brent working here at the Academy, because there is, it's very, very nice to have the thought downloads come through, right? The movement of energy, you can see it back and forth, back and forth. So tell me about the control. Let's just stay with that, brother. If you can tell me about the control, what does that mean? What is it?
Yeah, it's
how would you talk about control?
It's the mind. It's the way I would describe it is that my mind is creating an expectation of an outcome, either consciously or subconsciously, of believing how something should look or how something should go or how something should be. So, and when, you know, and there's this illusion that either I can have control over that outcome happening, or like, and it could be in regards to someone else's behavior, how someone else acts, how someone else behaves, how someone else shows up. But there's the mind is creating a story that, hey, this is how something should be. And this is how it should play out. It's kind of like a story. It's telling. And then when things don't go the way that the mind has drawn it up, the mind creates a feeling of angst or tries to make it. And it could, I say the mind, it could be the mind, the ego, the not self, but it creates a, because it almost is like a kid throwing a temper tantrum because it wants its way. It wants control in it because that's what makes it believe that things are safe. Things are okay. So like when I say control, I mean, how does that look in regular life? If my friend and I are meeting for lunch at noon and he comes 5 minutes late, maybe something happened, maybe something different, but like I'm usually there at 12. Maybe I hit traffic and run late. So then I'm in a frantic, you know, place of, hey, I need to get over here because things are not okay. Cause now I'm going to be late. Like, okay, big deal. Like someone shows up 5 minutes late. So on my end, it creates a lack of peace within me. On their end, you know, if we plan to meet at noon and they show up at 12:05 or 12:10, you know, my mind can create a story of like, hey, we were supposed to be here at 12 because we need to leave by 1:30 to get to the next meeting at 2:00 and things have to stick to this schedule or everything's not going to be okay. So like they show up late, my mind could take it personally. Hey, this person doesn't respect my time. This person, you know, and it would, I remember there were times where, you know, my best friend, and he's an amazing dude, you know, he is, if we're going to meet at noon, he's going to be there at like 12:10. And it's like, it's every single time. And I would still allow, like, there would be times where I would still allow myself to get upset versus now, if we're going to meet at 12, I'm just going to show up at 12:10, you know, and like meet them, you know, we'll get there at the same time. Or, you know, there could be things, you know, I'll just show up at noon, sit down and, you know, play chess or, you know, do something else with my time, look over the menu. But so I guess like when we talk about control, it's a need. It's like a need for things to play out a certain way for me to believe that I'm going to be okay. And when I say me, yeah, I mean, does that make sense? And did you hear anything from that?
Yes, absolutely, brother. And again, it's a thought download. So I want to bounce back to you on something you said having to do with time. So, given that it is a letting go of control, and again, we're kind of into your perspective of things now, which is right. Which is beautiful, because there's something I have a question for you on manifestation. We might be able to get to on this episode. We might be on part two or part three. But when you mentioned like time, you know, be here at 1:30. Let's meet at 1:30. Let's meet at 2:00. Or I have a meeting. I have an appointment. How would you now, knowing what you know now, guide a student who is, say, like an executive, right? He's coming in and he's coming to you and saying, look, I'm dealing with these people. I need them to be on time. Things are late. They're back in. Like, he's working with his calendar, right? And he's working with time management, but not necessarily his own, maybe more around the other, like the control of what other people are doing, like trying to control those outcomes. What is your work with a student like that look like?
Yeah, I guess one, I would ask, like, you know, get down to the why. Why is it so important for, you know, this person showing up on time or doing this, you know, at this exact time? And maybe it's as simple as, hey, there's a deadline. We made an engagement with another company, a client, and like, this is their expectation. And this is what's going to allow our company to earn this profit and feed these mouths. So, okay. Then I would say, I would ask them, like, how often is the, you know, how is the time management and where is it good and where is it not? But also, like, in the circumstances where the expectation around time isn't met, you know, how are we showing up? How are we vibrating? Am I then, you know, as the CEO, snapping on my people, you know, reprimanding them, showing up from a place of conditional love, or like, you know, creating a huge, maybe we didn't meet that deadline. There was a, you know, unique circumstance or very good reason for not meeting the deadline. So, okay, can we have the intention of, you know, meeting this time expectation or this goal around completing this task at this time? But if it's not met, still show up from a place of love, still allow for some, you know, like some of, you know, unforeseen circumstances to arise, and not, you know, I guess, yeah, how would I coach that person? Probably with like understanding what happens when the time isn't met and how they show up, and if that's how, you know, if that resonates with who they truly are, or how they want to show up when. Because the other thing is, I get it, like, see, you know, executive or CEO, time is important, meeting deadlines may be important, but also management of the people is. And I know that if I'm working for a CEO or an executive or someone, I want to know that they, you know, have my back, they care about me, that they, you know, they can manage themselves calm, cool, and collectively in, you know, both times of calmness and adversity. So I think there would be some opportunity to dive deeper on the navigating adversity.
Love it, brother. Yeah. Love it. Thank you. We're going to pick this up next week. I appreciate your time, my friend. We'll pick it up next week. We'll have some more questions for you. This is Brent Smith on the Alpha Male Coach Podcast. Again, brother, love you so much. All the work you do. Looking forward to next interview.
Thank you. Love you too, man. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Alpha Male Coach Podcast. If you enjoy what you've heard and want even more, sign up for Unleash Your Alpha, your guide to shifting to the alpha mindset, at thealphamalecoach.com/unleash.